Hello, and welcome to Freshwater. You're listening to a message from our pastor, Dr. Jeff Gibbon, given in one of our weekly services. You can check out our website, www.freshwaterchurch.net, for more information on our weekly services, home groups, online giving, and a whole lot more. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
All right, I found that funny. That fit. That was good. So during my high school graduation, one of the things we did is we all went around to each other's graduation parties, and one of the topics of conversation is, so what did you get from your parents for graduation? And commonly, you know, a lot of them got money. I got a watch. A friend of mine got a dirt bike. I was like, wow, a dirt bike. How'd that happen? But one of my very best friends got luggage. And I said to him, I think you got a message for graduation. It's time for you to go. And so, anyway, as we're looking in this series, Experiencing God, one of the things we're finding out is we're not on our own. Well, there's a real reality of graduation and adulthood and so forth that, you know, personal responsibility. But one of the things we've been seeing across this theme of this series of Experiencing God is that we are very much not on our own. God is here. Today we're going to be looking at greater things, God's greater things for us. And our main text is going to be in John chapter 5, starting at verse 17. If you have your Bibles to open there with me. And as well, we are on YouVersion, so if you want to click, you know, YouVersion and then live groups, and we should pop up, hopefully number one. And you can follow along there as well. But we are in John chapter 5, starting at verse 17. We're looking at a lot of words in red. These are the words of Jesus. And Jesus is having kind of a debate, really. So I'm going to skip part of the debate in it. I'm going to focus on Jesus' words. So John chapter 5, starting at verse 17. Jesus said to them, "My Father is always at his work. To this very day, and I, too, am working." And skip down to 19. Jesus gave them this answer, "I tell you the truth, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can do only what he sees the Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all he does." Yes, to your amazement, he will show him even greater things than these. All right. Well, there's a whole lot there, and I want to zoom in at first on verse 17. I'm just going to read it real quickly one more time. Verse 17, zooming in, Jesus said to them, "My Father is always at work to this very day, and I too am working." One of the things we've seen throughout this series, and we'll continue to see, it's just like an overwhelming pattern of Scripture, is that God is at work. And here we see this, that part of the deal is an encounter on the journey. We're working with God, and we encounter him along the way. God is at work. Many people in Jesus' day had real honest-to-goodness thoughts of, where's God? You see, if they looked, they saw some great things in their history. Of course, all the things we see in the Word of God, and probably the last big thing for them was in 163 BC when Antiochus IV, who was the leader of the Seleucid Empire, had taken over Israel, or actually they had taken over Israel for quite some time, and he just inherited the kingdom from his dad and decided to be a knucklehead. But he decided that he was going to fight the Jews, you know, because it was already his property, but he just said, enough of this Jewish stuff, I'm tired of it. And the Jews fought back. The Maccabees was a group of Jews that were kind of freedom fighters of their time. There's a book called First and Second Maccabees, not in our Bible, but it's really good history. And it tells the story of them fighting back against an oppressive ruler and winning. And all that God did through that process, again, good history, not Scripture. But from that, we get Hanukkah, which Jesus celebrated. But that was 200 years ago from Jesus' time. So people in his day were like, yeah, we read these great things, Where is he today? Rome had taken over Israel in 63 BC, which means it had been 100 years of being under Rome's thumb. And there were no biblical prophets since Malachi, which was 400 years ago. And they really did have this thought of, where's God? Where's God today? What's he doing? Where is he? And Jesus begins with this scripture, my Father is always at his work. God is always at his work. Sometimes it's more blatant than others, but God is always at work. God is at work around us, from Bible times to today. Always at work. And there's a pattern that we've been seeing. We've been seeing the last couple Sundays, and we'll see going forward, that there's a pattern that God is especially the most profound encounters are toward action, are toward a work, toward mission, toward calling. God is at work today. In this, we have to stop for a minute and look at a really great verse that has become kind of a cornerstone of Protestantism, but to just look at part of this verse that sometimes gets left off. See, we are saved not by works, but to works. And that's a really important thing to remember. Ephesians 2, 8 through 10, Paul is speaking and he says, for it is by grace you've been saved, through faith, and not from yourselves. It is a gift from God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. That's an important thing to remember as we're talking about God being at work and we encounter him along the journey of what he wants to do. To remember that we're saved by grace, by Jesus Christ, not by anything we do. We find forgiveness at the cross. But just like we're not saved by works, we are saved to works. And as we continue on this journey, we're seeing that we encounter God more and more profoundly in mission, in what we do with him. We really do touch God's love and his presence in worship. In open-hearted, heartfelt, spirit-driven worship, we encounter God. We really do encounter God's guidance in relational prayer as we seek him. And biblically, experientially, we find the greatest encounter of God toward action. God is always at work. Always. Sometimes for us, this, and for the people of Jesus' day, it was hard to see. Sometimes it really is hard to see. God, what are you doing right here? Sometimes we only see it in the rearview mirror. We only understand it later and go, oh, wow, look at that. How? I would have never guessed. But look at that. That's how it all worked together. And sometimes it's as blatant as Jesus standing right in front of us. You see, for the people of Jesus' day who said, God, where are you at work? I don't see this happening. I don't see you moving. I don't see your work. Jesus was standing right in front of them, literally. God's greatest work was right there. Sometimes it's as blatant as Jesus standing right in front of us. In this text, there's a little hidden promise, a promise of a greater encounter. It says, our Father is always at work. And that is also an invitation. Getting closer to God involves three important processes. As we grow closer to God, there's three things that are happening. There's three important processes. We never arrive. We always have struggles in each of the three. We never graduate from any of them, but there's three processes going on in our walk with God. One is an encounter with truth. We need to know what is true. And we've created, God is continually working on us and working on our truth grid. Our truth grid is largely based on this, right? Or hopefully entirely based on this. But as we seek God's word, what is truth about me? What is really, really true about me? How should I really see myself? Living in the world is really affecting that, isn't it? How should we see God? What is real about God? How do we see the world? How do we see others? And that is something that we struggle with. That is a normal part of our process. And there are times that, oh, I got that, and then a little bit later, I don't really get that. It's a normal part of our process, the truth grid. The second thing is, second process that's always going on is our battle with ourself. And the battle with ourself is simply put, I know what I should do, and I know what I really do. And how do we get those lined up? So that's a second process that is something, again, we never arrive, but it's something that we're always to be encountering God with, and that battle with ourselves. I know what I should do. I know what I really do. Let's get those to line up. That's our second battle. But our third battle is, or our third process is the process that really we've been talking about this series. And that is encountering God in mission. Where's God at? He's at work. We want to be closer to Him. We need to be closer to what He's doing. In this is a promise for a greater encounter. There's an invitation here to meet with God in His work. Verse 19, zooming in here, Jesus says, Jesus gave them the answer, "I tell you the truth, the Son can do nothing by Himself. He can only do what He sees the Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son also does." He can do nothing except what He sees the Father doing. Of course, this is very familiar to another scripture. Jesus also saying in John 15:5, He says, "I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me, I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." And right here in our scripture, Jesus can do nothing except what He sees God doing, God the Father doing. You know, I have an honest little problem. there's an old song, maybe you know it, maybe you don't know it, but there's an old song that just is, to me, scratch your fingers all you want on the chalkboard. You know, that doesn't bother me so much, a little bit, but not so much. But this Christian song, as famous as it is, drives me insane. And it goes, I'm going to try to remember it. It says, "Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know who holds the future, life is worth the living, just because He lives." And every time I hear that song, I think, Christians are such losers. They're suicidal losers, right? They can't do anything, and they're going to kill themselves if they don't believe God. You know, I'm sorry. That's my own little issue. I know. It's my own little problem. It's my deal. You know, there's something about this. I can do nothing? Every one of our kids, I think it's probably pretty normal, have gone through the stage, "I can do it myself." Right, and they're little guys, and I could do it myself. And their shirts are all buttoned funny. And my kids, probably more often than most kids, have trouble with the mismatching of the clothes. A little longer than most kids. You know, we just had a kid come down the other day with plaid shorts and striped shirts, and it was like, "Whoa, we need to send you back." And then he came back down. I forget what he's wearing the second time, but it was like, better, but still no. Back up you go. Those don't match. And we have that "I can do it myself" stage. And as a parent, we know that this is a good thing. And even though they're going to not get it right all the time, we want to say, "Good job. Good job. Let me rebutton that for you. But you did it all. You did all the buttons right. They just were off one, you know. And let me help you get that." And that's a great thing to encourage our kids in doing. And here we have Jesus saying, "You can do nothing apart from me." Well, we can do a lot. You are accomplished, capable people
I know you can accomplish a lot. You're extraordinarily capable people. You can get a lot done. You can do a whole lot of some things without God, but we can only create spiritual fruit with Him. God is always at work, and if our true goal in life is to make a spiritual impact, we can't do any of that without working with Him. The text, the context of what he was saying is, I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me, I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, he can do nothing. What can he do nothing of? Fruit. Spiritual fruit. We can't do that apart from him. God is at work. And where we find our ultimate fulfillment is in creating spiritual fruit. And we need to be with him in that. And a little thing as we do that, God clearly from Scripture is eager to make a spiritual impact. He is yearning to make a spiritual impact. He's yearning to bear fruit. And so it's not as if we have to search for this thing or that thing or the other thing. It's just an open heart, Lord. I want to make an impact for you, a spiritual impact. How can I do that? Lord, we don't have to search 1,000 different ways because he loves this. And it's usually what's right in front of us. There's a promise in here. You are not alone. You are not alone. And there's an invitation in this to do what we see our Father doing. And there's a promise in this. God is absolutely at work. He is at work. What's even, I think, more interesting as we build on this is verse 20. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all he does. Yes, to your amazement, he will show him even greater things than these. Oh. And see, here we have an even greater revelation. Jesus, being God's Son, is receiving a greater revelation, seeing even more of what God does. But it doesn't end there. Just as Jesus said that God will show him greater things, a greater revelation, Jesus had a special father-son relationship with God, but God revealed himself to Jesus dramatically, personally, in his plan, his work, and through Jesus, we are adopted as sons and daughters of the Most High God. In this is another promise that he will reveal more and more greater things to us about his work and his plan. He will show us greater things. Seek him. Now, because I love my wife and I want to get to know her more, I've gotten to get to know some things I would not normally get to know about. There was a big, long season of quilting where I got to learn about quilting. That was, you know, it was pretty interesting. There's different kind of stitches. I don't remember the names of them. She does. And there's different kinds of quilts. And wow, do they take a long time. And now when I see a quilt, I don't go, huh, quilt. I go, wow, that's a lot of work. Look at the stitching. And, oh, I like to, you know, and we see the different things. And that was a long season. Now we're kind of in the coffee season. So I've gotten to know coffee. You know, that's kind of like, before I thought you ordered from the menu. That's how it works. So I go to the Starbucks and I go, number four. That's what I want. But little did I know that that's not how it works. That's the starting point. And then you learn things. You know, I want a triple white berry with 2% and half skinny and, double shot and double sleeve and no cup. Right? Did I get that right? No, but I learned, I even wrote it down for a long time, because this is a big, long order that she has, and I'm learning all the different aspects, because I want to get to know my wife. I want to be near her. I want to know her more. And that is the truth of life. It is a parable of what God is teaching us in this text. God is always at work. And we draw near to Him when we work on our grid of truth, seeing ourselves biblically, not the way the world sees us, seeing others biblically, not the way the world says, seeing God biblically, not the way the world says, seeing the world biblically, not the way the world says. We draw near to Him by working at truth grid. And we draw nearer to Him as we struggle on with ourselves. I know what I'm supposed to line that up with God's help, but we draw nearest to Him when we draw nearest to His work. Jesus said, John 14:12, I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these, because I'm going to the Father. Wow. So we just saw that He's going to show us greater things, that God shows Jesus, He shows His Son greater things, and because we're in Jesus, we get to see the greater things. But now we get to do greater things. Mission is greater. There is a connection to action. Because Jesus went to the Father, so much has happened. He advocates for us on our behalf there. He sent His Spirit to us in a more powerful way because He is with the Father. And His mission is all the more needed. Greater things than these, because we follow Him. He who has faith in me will do what I've been doing, and even more. He has given us the promise of experiencing God. Our Father is always at work. We are invited to encounter Him. He will show us greater things, and we will do greater things. And as we reflect on those truths that we've pulled out in this series and through this text, sometimes we have to stop and go, well, I don't see it quite yet. Just like Jesus' people, just like the people right around Jesus at this time, where they go, we're still under oppression from the Romans, and we haven't seen God move powerfully in a long time. And yet Jesus was right there. He was doing things, and people were gathering around Him and changed the world. It's still happening today. So, how can we do this? How can we do this in real life? How do we see our Father in action? One, expect it. That changes everything when we change our expectation. See, our normal expectation, I don't know about you, but my normal expectation is today's going to be normal. Monday is going to be Monday. Well, not this Monday, but most Mondays are Monday, right? And Tuesdays are Tuesday, and yeah, that's just the way it happens. But we need to change our expectation. God is always at work, and therefore it ought to shock us when we look around and we go, I didn't see God move today. I didn't see Him work today. That ought to shock us. And just changing our expectation will change the result. If we walk into our day expecting to see God work, we'll change what we see. Second part of this, and I probably said this before, it's something that I bring up, WDJD, not WWJD. See, we see this, what would Jesus do all the time? And I go, okay, well, that's pretty good. But what did Jesus do? What did Jesus do? You'll never get to what would Jesus do until we understand what did Jesus do. One of the things that we see as we read the words in red, read the words in red. As we read the words in red, we get to know Jesus' true MO. What did He really do? Little interesting thing that kind of messed with my head as I saw this is that Jesus spent very little time individually with the poor. What? That kind of whacked. But I watched him as we're reading along. He would go meet a need and move on. Meet a need. He spent a lot of time with poor people, but poor individuals. Meet a need, move on. Meet a need, move on. Meet a need, move on. That freaked me out. I'm still processing that. And then he's with religious people. He kind of told them off and then moved on. Told them off, moved on. Told them off, moved on. He kind of let them know truth, right? But influential people he had dinner with in long conversations about God. Influential people. Well, that kind of messed my world up. That changed me and how I looked at that. And now, what would Jesus do? Meet a need, move on. Meet a need, move on. Oh, let's have a long conversation. That messed me up. And there are so many of those when we read the words in red. And so, WDJD, what did Jesus do? Read the words in red. Third, be the deal. Be the deal. How can we see the Father at work? Be the deal. I am a deal hunter. My wife is a deal hunter extraordinaire. And I love finding a great deal. Ooh, you know, this is good. And we find good deals. In fact, we're like, what? Only 50% off? Yeah, man, I don't know. You know, and so there was a while ago, Michelle, because she's better at this than I am, rang up this whole big grocery cart full of stuff, and it came up negative. And the clerk looked and went, and Michelle said, "You want me to buy a candy bar?" Uh-huh. So buys a candy bar to make it, you know, here's 10 cents, or whatever it was. But in this, I love finding a good deal. But with people, I want to be the good deal. I want to be the deal. And so that really speaks of service, of work. And I'm not perfect at it, but I realize as I ask myself, how do I see God the Father in action? Be the deal. Be the good deal. Be the person that really wants to serve, to provide more than takes. Be the deal. And when I honestly want to make a difference, I find God. Fourth in all this is to have an open heart. And those are words that are really easily said, but in all honesty can be very, very difficult to do because we live here, right? We live on this planet. And life here sometimes causes us to put the guard up, right? But with God and with people, we need to have an open heart because God is at work. And he invites us to encounter him in it. Well, it's graduation invitation season. And I don't know about you, but we've gotten a whole bunch of graduation invitations. And we're saying, oh, look, how could they be graduating already? And we're remembering and we're celebrating and so forth, graduation. And part of me wants to say, you got a big shot coming ahead of you. And you're on your own, you know, and you should be scared and all this kind of stuff. But whenever we see that, whenever we think that, we have to realize we are not on our own. God is always at work, and he's always inviting us to an encounter with him. That is an invitation with a promise. A promise of his presence, of his love, of his impact. Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for this opportunity to lift you up in worship and to look into your word. Lord, all of these things that we've been talking about are not easy. They are true. Help us this week to say yes to your invitation, to more and more be expectant of what you will do. and to enter in to your presence and your mission. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening. Freshwater Church meets in Gilbert, Arizona. Please check out our website for more information, freshwaterchurch.net. You may also email us at office@freshwaterchurch.net. If you have some tough questions about the Bible, God, or the church, feel free to email us at questions@freshwaterchurch.net. God bless, and we hope to see you soon.